services. This is Wednesday, February 12th, and we have a large group today, and I understand that they're setting up arrangements for an overflow room because there's so many that are here that are interested in this topic today. This is the public hearing on Senate Bill 5507. The State Commission on Children and Families, and just a few little housekeeping items before we get started. If there's anyone in the audience who has a cell phone, would you please turn it off so that it doesn't disrupt the hearings? And also, those of you who are testifying, would you please limit your testimony to 3 minutes? We have a lot of individuals who want to talk about the Commission on Children and Families, and we want to give everyone the opportunity to share.
Kind of organize farthest away or somewhere.
Okay. And it is my custom, and I know the custom of other chairs, to actually call individuals to testify who live the furthest away so that we're assuring that they have an opportunity to get here. We really appreciate you traveling all the distance to come to Salem. And so with that, I will begin calling individuals who and I may say something to those of you who live in Marion County. Please don't feel bad because you get called later. You're here at home, and I know that you welcome those who are coming from out of the Marion County area to welcome them here to testify. So with that, Vicki Brajati and Nancy, if I say it wrong, correct me, Finholt, and Shasta.
Sure.
Shasta Walker and Joyce Hyder and I don't know if we've got John Lamore. Okay. The overflow room is 170.
H170,
which is down the hall through the doors and the first committee hearing room.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Vicki Brajati. I am the director of the Union County Commission on Children and Families, and I'm here today speaking in support of Senate Bill 5507. Union County will have five representatives to testify about the importance.
For those of you who are standing in the back, you can come and share the dais with us right here. We have some chairs of some that they're not, and the same is true with those on that side. So you can be a part of the legislative body today.
Get ready for the cut, Bill. Take a deep legislative body.
Yes.
Please
go ahead.
Are also available here.
Reserve. What?
We're on three.
Yeah.
You can set where you don't see a nameplate.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now you may proceed.
Okay. Do you need me to start over again?
That would be helpful.
Oh.
And let's wait till our public committee staff returns so that she can take the she can transcribe.
Okay.
She said it's okay.
Okay. Madam Chair, Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Vicki Brajati. I am the director of the Union County Commission on Children and Families, and I am here today speaking in support of Senate Bill 5507. As you noted, Union County will have five representatives testifying today about the importance of local investment funds in the commission system. We will be telling the story of one local project known as the Health Network for Rural Schools. It is offered through Oregon Health and Sciences University School of Nursing at Eastern Oregon University. This is a project that I love to talk about. It was conceived by a senior nursing student who had been assigned to one rural school for her community health nursing clinical experience. What she found were profound student health care needs, and what she proposed was establishing an itinerant nurse that would be shared by the rural schools. The program coordinator is here to talk about program specifics, so I'd like to spend my time talking about benefits to the communities being served. First of all, the health network goes to the community, provides services in the community, and addresses needs that have been identified by the community. In Union County, there's this perception that resources and services stop at the city limits of LaGrande, where roughly half of our county population resides. The health network dispels this perception. Secondly, access to services have been enhanced and service fragmentation has been reduced because health network staff serve as liaisons between families and health and social service providers. Services are offered in a holistic, integrated approach to meet specific individual needs. And finally, the health network is the only school-linked health program in the state of Oregon. There are several single-site school-based health centers across the state, but this program, which is funded in part with local investment resources from the Union County Commission on Children and Families, is shared by five school districts. The project has leveraged their dollars to capture additional resources that are then reinvested in essential services for children, youth, and families in rural communities. Testimony from the coordinator for the health network and the perspectives of a mother and a student living in communities served by the health network, along with input from a Union County commissioner, will present compelling reasons to retain local investment funds for community programs through Senate Bill 5507. I'd like to thank the committee for considering the value of local investment dollars through the Oregon Commission on Children and Families.
Thank you.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Nancy Finholt. I'm a faculty member with the Oregon Health and Science University School of Nursing in LaGrande and the program director for the Health Network for Rural Schools. I'm speaking today on behalf of Senate Bill 5507. The Health Network employs a traveling team of health professionals that include a school nurse, a nurse practitioner, and a family resource coordinator, and also a mental health counselor, who travel to five small rural school districts in Union County. The program was established to address the barriers that hinder rural families from accessing health care for their children. These include distance and difficult traveling over mountain passes, no public transportation, limited reliable personal transportation for certain families. Poverty rates are very high. There's a high percentage of our population who do not have health care insurance, and many parents don't earn sick leave. For these reasons, many children simply were not receiving health care services. The Health Network is bringing health care to the schools and to the children. It's the only program in Union County that is doing that. The Health Network is funded by a mix of local, private, and public entities. It includes the Union County Commission on Children and Families through the locally invested funds, the hospital, county general funds, and the school districts. The Commission on Children and Families was one of two entities that provided the seed money for this program. They are currently providing us $10,000 a year, and the program costs $200,000 a year almost, and so it's a 20-to-1 match on the locally invested funds. I'll review some of the outcomes. Currently, all children have access to health care, and our utilization is very high. We had 49% of the students in the five districts who visited the school nurse last year, 33% were treated by the nurse practitioner, and 13% received mental health counseling. All of the children in grades K through 8 were screened by a dentist and also received dental hygiene education. 22 low-income students received free dental treatment. The prevalence of severe dental disease has declined from 11.4% in 1998 to 1.6% in 2002. and the percentage of children who are uninsured was reduced from 18.2% in 1997 to 7.4% in 2001 as a result of the work of our family resource coordinators. Health plans have also been developed for all children who have chronic health conditions or severe allergies. So clearly you'll see that the monies that have been given to this program are going a very long way. Thank you for accepting my testimony.
Thank you. Joyce?
Shasta.
Oh, Shasta.
Madam Chair,
is that like Mount Shasta?
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Shasta Walker, and I'm a senior at Union High School, one of the five communities served by the Health Network for Rural Schools. I'm speaking in regards to Senate Bill 5507. I've had hands-on experience with the Health Network for the 4 years of my high school career. My freshman year, I was having problems with abusive living situation, and I got in contact with the mental health counselor, who then helped me and my two younger siblings get into foster care, which was a long process, but it helped immensely with everything else. After that, I was able to keep my grades up and stay in school, which I thought was not a possibility for me. Because of that, I am now looking forward to graduating, and I would like to go to college at the Eastern University and become a teacher. My sophomore year, I was also receiving mental health counseling for some of the other things that happened in my past and being able to move forward. My junior year, I started meeting with the school nurse for ailments that I had, which included pneumonia. I had help with one of the biggest decisions of my life my sophomore year as well. My junior year, I needed help from the nurse practitioner to obtain a medical card because I was having more ailments. I am still receiving mental health counseling now because I have just moved back home with my family, and living situations are still rough. If it wasn't for the Health Network, I would not be here right now. I would not be in school. I don't know where I would be, but it would not be here. I owe them everything that I have.
Take your time.
Thank you. To have people that don't know me personally care for me like they do know me means a lot to me. And if it is taken away, then there's going to be so many children just like me who need help and won't be able to receive it. That is all I have to say.
Shasta, we want to thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Representative Smith.
I just want to let Shasta know how proud we are of you, and we truly thank you for coming all this way from Union County to the state capitol, and I congratulate you on going to the finest university this side. Thank you for coming.
I think Shasta, he probably also wants to say that he's probably your representative.
And at 18, you'll be getting a voter registration card.
Mark the D.
So just remember, if you have any requests, you can contact Representative Smith.
Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, if I could just comment, Shasta, if you could see
Representative Westland.
If you could see Representative Smith when he sits in the witness box and testifies, you'll know how sincere his words are.
Senator Gordley.
Shasta, would just like to say to you, Madam Chair, that your testimony is excellent, and I'm sure you're going to be a wonderful teacher.
Thank you.
And if you can find it in your time in the future, also consider running for the legislature. We don't have nearly enough women. And our presence does make a difference.
That's true.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Joyce and John. We're still in Union County.
I see that.
The whole county must be over here today.
Yeah. Who's watching the store?
Madam Chair and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Joyce Hyder, and after I compose myself from Shasta's testimony, I'll try to get through my own. My family lives in the community of Elgin, Oregon, which is 20 miles northeast of LaGrande. I have a son that attends Elgin Middle School as a sixth grader, and I also volunteer at Stella Mayfield School, and I reside over the PTO at Stella Mayfield. Our community is one where the housing costs are very low, which attracts the neediest of needy families. The health network for rural schools are not only not necessary but imperative to the healthy survival of our community. During last year, the number of students in our elementary school that qualified and utilized the free and reduced lunch program has risen from 28% to 51%. The health network is an invaluable resource for the public schools as it works with these high needs population. The part-time health professionals placed in our school work hand-in-hand with the administration and the teachers to serve the students with physical assessments and the healthcare treatment, immunizations, which we've benefited in our own home with that, and referral to the other county and state agencies and counseling to the individual's entire families. Often the school nurse, the health professional that comes in, is the only health professional a lot of these kids ever see in their life. Our parents don't. We live in a community where there's. It's hard for the parents to get to the school, so the kids are bused to the schools. The parents don't have access to getting their kids to and from our clinic, our small clinic there, or to a larger facility. Because of our remote location, some of the families in the Elgin School District, our school nurse has to make a lot of home visits. She goes down there on her own time. Preventive maintenance is a way of educating our students and our parents, and that's one of the goals of the health network. It's my hope that you now have a strong understanding as to how invaluable and necessary the Commission's local investment resources are to provide services like the health network in our community and our schools in Elgin. We require stable funding of the program as our community remains dedicated to serving some of the most neediest families and children in Oregon, and I'd like to thank you for accepting my testimony today.
Thank you.
John.
Madam Chair and distinguished members of this committee, my name is John Lamoureux. I'm Union County Commissioner. This to me is taxes being spent as taxes should be spent. The county I represent is 2,000 square miles. Temperatures can often dip below zero. In one of our communities of North Powder, 40% of the people in North Powder live at the poverty level or just above it. To get to LaGrande, where the doctors are in the county, they have to go over what USA Today rates as one of the most dangerous passes in the United States, Ladd Canyon. These services are incredible. I have rarely in my life seen a situation where the public and the private sector unanimously agrees that this is what should be done, and I'm so proud of it. Shasta's testimony could be reflected by a number of other kids who could come out here who truly do not have access to medical or mental health services except for this innovative program started by a nursing student in our county. I will keep my testimony short, especially as the next people to testify have a sick child with 102 fever, and so we're here defending children. I do not want to take any more time, but we really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to present.
Thank you very much, and we don't want to have them wait. So I will call Debbie Cantiello. Cantiello. And is Peggy with you? Peggy Perkerson?
Perkerson.
I'm going to get it right.
That's fine.
And is that Larry that's with you? Is Larry with you? Or it's just the two of you? Yeah, okay. And that's Blunt?
Blunt. Thank you.
You're going to be Blunt.
I have been known to be very. Senator Westland has had some experience.
Well, you just elevated Westland to from the.
Well, I'm not sure I'd representative. I'm sorry.
Proceed, Debbie.
Thank you. Chair Winters, fellow committee members, for the record, my name is Debbie Cantiello. I'm the executive director of Coalition for Kids, and we are located at 223 Southeast M Street in Grants Pass, Oregon. Hi. And Chair Winters, congratulations to your election to the other side. Last time I saw you, you were in the House.
I was over with Westward.
Unfortunately, I'm the one with the sick kid, and don't call the child abuse people. When I took my son Anthony here, the one that doesn't look so good, and his friend Jimbo out of school, it's a great opportunity for kids from Southern Oregon to get to tour the state capitol. Little did I know that he was going to wake up with a temperature, and we probably need to put this kid back in bed. So I'll be real short. I'm here testifying in opposition of the proposed budget for the reason that it has completely eliminated funding for family resource centers. Coalition for Kids was first funded as a state demonstration project in 1991. We have a 12-year funding history. We have been part in three demonstration projects. I venture to say, and I will put this very bluntly, no testimony, I'll rip up my notes. You know what? We have been a steal for the state. We have operated at $50,000 per year. And let me tell you, no whining. I know you guys are sick and tired of people whining for their money back. I'm sick and tired of people whining for their money back. For $50,000, what we did is we are running a family resource center that serves as home to 400 of Josephine County's preschool-age children every day. They are in Head Start. We have programs for developmentally delayed children. We have balanced programs. We have a program, Tinkerbell Parent Co-op, which has the children of doctors and attorneys in it. So we are going out of our way not to isolate poor children in Josephine County. We're not. It's a non-stigmatizing setting. It doesn't say I pay my child care and I don't on my forehead. What we do with $50,000, to me, what a state agency would do with $50,000 is pay one person's paycheck. What we're able to do with that $50,000 is phenomenal. The state funding last year was 8% of my total budget. 70% of our budget was self-generated in the forms of fees, revenue, tuition, and 22% of it came to us in donations and private grants. So we more than tripled our state funding. We had federal matching dollars, and we have the buy-in of many private donors in our community and private foundations. I want to tell you guys that if we stop serving these kids, no one is waiting in line to do it. We have the largest licensed child care center in the county. We now hold 45 slots for infants and toddlers. And I know I don't have to go through the nuts and bolts, but in this state, that's a 1-to-4 staff to child ratio. You cannot break even on infant toddler child care. If we limit or reduce enrollment, these kids have nowhere to go. And let me tell you who these kids were last quarter. 87% of them qualified for free or reduced USDA meals under federal guidelines. These are children living in poverty. They are the children of teen parents. They are the children of grandparents in our community who are parenting their grandchildren. They are foster children. And by and large, they are headed up with single-family head of household children. I know what happens on the other side. I am married to a career police officer. When our prevention breaks down, I certainly see what's going to happen on the other side. And I certainly am not here today advocating that we close jails or put prisoners out in the street. At the same point in time, we have vested state money in this project for 12 years. Our goals are the same as our local commission goals. They are the same as the state commission goals. we have had a significant impact. If you guys want to say, so what, let me tell you, so what. Child abuse, teen pregnancy, juvenile crime, high school dropout rate, all down in Josephine County. We're doing something in that community, and I think we're doing what we want to do with state dollars. So this is it. I get to go, and I get called to all these positions where they say, if the sky's the limit, Deb, what would you wish for? So I drove all the way from Josephine County to tell you guys, if the sky was the limit, we all have opinions, you know, what do you want Deb to do here? I left a job in 1994 as the chief financial officer for a major DOD contractor. I need to tell you, I made more then than I make now. I have the best job in the world, and it's not because of my paycheck. It's because I stand for Josephine County kids, and we get to make a difference in a kid's life every day, and they are the true victims here. So let me tell you, the sky's the limit. Please, when I leave here and I get on the road, I task you to tell me to do more for less. Private, nonprofit, Ken, we will. We'll squeeze every penny. Don't cut us out of the budget. Put us in at a reduced level. Task this agency to go back to the drawing board and not eliminate our funding. Thanks so much for hearing me out.
Thanks. Well, I don't know if I can follow that one. I'm not that good off the cuff. Madam Chair, Winters, and fellow committee members, for the record, my name is Peggy Perkerson. I'm the director of a family resource center in Harrisburg, Oregon. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you in regards to this Bill 5507 on behalf of Family Resource Centers statewide. Family Resource Centers have been part of the State Commission on Children and Families Priorities, valued and mentioned in name in several pieces of legislation since the 1990s. We have proven to help the state and local commissions attain their joint comprehensive goals of strong, nurturing families and healthy, thriving children, with an emphasis on child readiness, parent support, youth development, and alternatives activities for families. Initially begun as far back as 1991, as Deb mentioned, as a demonstration project, we have more than demonstrated our effectiveness in meeting prevention and parent support goals, among others, depending on the Family Resource Center. We continue to meet the needs of these of our separate communities by leveraging resources and fundings, as Deb mentioned, and her center is it's a larger community than Harrisburg. We've been able to leverage our $50,000 into about $140,000 in Harrisburg alone, and we serve the whole school district, which is quite large. Some of that is in volunteer time, and some of that is in leveraged dollars that would not have come to our small rural community had it not been for the State Commission's money. We serve over about 1,200 families and individuals each year through our parent co-op preschools, our parent education, drug and alcohol, and drug and alcohol and violence prevention for youth, and other family activities. Last year alone, we had over 2,600 hours of volunteer time that valued at $33,000. We are sometimes the only connection in our community for county and state services for families, providing a meeting place for early intervention, for WIC, and for AFS, or the office formerly known as AFS. We are often the only connection to services for families with no transportation or funds for transportation, and provide a vital link for families between school and community. With the mandate to meet the special needs in our individual communities, family resource centers may look different in each community. In Harrisburg, due to the growing number of Hispanic families, are striving to bridge the language and cultural gap to better serve these children and their families. We acknowledge the revenue reduction in the state is facing, and recognize the hard decisions that must be made. The Oregon Commission on Children and Families, following the legislature's lead last biennium, originally recommended continued inclusion of the Family Resource Center despite the budget shortfall, albeit at a 50% reduction. But now our funding and the final outcome was completely eliminated from the State Commission's budget. We've proven ourselves time and again to be frugal stewards of the public's money, excellent keepers of their trust. And I cannot say that we are the most important organization in the state, but we affect more individuals and families through our prevention activities than other agencies do through their crisis programs. And I think the Union County Group spoke really highly of that. Given the current reductions in the Department of Human Resources budget, in our community, Family Resource Centers will be needed even more. We only ask that the FRCs, Family Resource Centers, I don't want to put money in the little thing there, to be restored to the Commission's budget for the funding level to be determined, but instead of the total current elimination. I know my husband had recently went back to school to become a teacher, being told that he was going to have a job, no problem, male in elementary ed. Well, we all know where that's going. So I know this is competition for dollars. Finally, in the words found in my daily inspirational quote book, working together, ordinary people can do extraordinary things. With that in mind, let me say that with very little money, we can do great many things. Thank you again for your kind consideration of my testimony.
And thank you. Larry?
Madam Chair and members of the committee, there's, for the record, my name is Larry Blunt. I'm a private business person. I am the chairman of North Curry Families and Children's Center, which, as the name implies, is one of those groups that were recipients of the Family Center resource funding. Everything that these two ladies to my left have said about their community, some of the numbers would be different, but it all means the same. The benefit to the community, in our case, we're talking a community of about approximately 4,000 people, has been tremendous. The two points I would like to try to stay on task myself is from a business perspective, I've been involved in a lot of the activities that the state of Oregon has been involved in through the commission structure, through the workforce investment, K-12, served on school boards, so on and so forth. For the amount of dollars spent, taxpayers, it'd be hard-pressed for them to get a better return on investment than what this state has spent in the family centers. We in North Curry Family and Children's Center has been able to leverage what few dollars have come to us, at least to the same degree as the two folks to the left, probably a 7 to 8 to 1 ratio, primarily coming from business within the community and other partners. But the one thing that Family Resource Centers have done in our community is Port Orford Langlois, which is on the southern Oregon coast in Curry County, as is a lot of other places in this state, are extremely economically depressed. We've lost our children. We've lost our families. We have no jobs. The thing that the Family Resource Centers has done is it has given that community hope. We have convened many, many community partners. We have created programs that have kept folks, young folks, in school. We have helped our school district with the teen pregnancy program that we created, the Mommy and Me, that has not only supported these young people but have gotten them back into school where they can graduate, which is what they want to do, and it's their right to do that. We have created job opportunities, which are unusual and unique in the outdoors. We're trying to figure out ways that we can give our young people opportunities to stay in our community and have a decent family wage job. We've been successful in doing that. Our first graduates this year, three young people that went through a four-year program, which has been supported by the family centers, are now employed in the tourist trade, and they're making very good wage, and they're able to live within our community. The hope is what the family center brings to us. I can't and will not say that I oppose the Commission on Children and Families budget, except to say that in this case, the family center, Family Centers needs to be some part of that budget. The hope that you get in the amount of dollars that you spend versus what you get in return, in my mind, you're going to be hard-pressed to beat it. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk. If folks have questions or need more information, I'd be more than happy to provide it.
Thank you, Larry. And I understand there are 8 resource centers. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Jean Wisnett, and Philippa Brown, and Tammy
Bainey,
from Deschutes County.
Yes, ma'am.
You noticed that you have some applause from my house member front to my left.
And a fine gentleman he is, Madam Chair.
There we go.
We have other opinions on that.
I lose my credibility.
We better go home.
Can I ask you, because We have your written testimony to kind of just encapsulate it for us in the essence of time, because we don't want to not hear everybody. And how was it coming over the pass today? We hope it was beautiful.
Yes, Madam Chair, it was. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Gene Wisnett. I'm the chair of our Commission on Children and Families and a retired Air Force colonel. With me at the table is Philippa Brown, a retired school principal and our past chair. And on my left is Tammy Bainey, a young mother and housewife and our energetic vice chair, all lay people. In the bullpen to help me, I have Ted Jones, one of our commission members and a representative of the coalition, and Scott Johnson, our highly qualified and devoted staff director. We provided you for the record our written comments and also our 2001-2002 annual report. We represent our county commissioners, our agency council, and our presiding circuit court judge who appoint us. We've traveled over the mountains to ask for your continued support of the local commissions, Madam Chair. We want to describe our efforts real fast to what we've done to cut operations, to ask that before you make other cuts to the local commissions, the state agencies look at similar actions, and we want to ask for flexible funds. As a citizens board, we realize the times are tough. Thus, we've taken steps to cut costs in a responsible manner. We've reduced our staff. We've moved to a four-day work week, and we're cutting our operational cost. We've reduced the 2001-2003 grants by 9%, and we'll reduce our grants in the future. But we do believe flexible funding is critical to the local commissions, and Philip will explain why.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairman, Representative Westland, and all the members of the committee. I'm Philippa Brown, and I'm a member and representative of the Deschutes County Commission on Children and Families, and I want to thank you for this opportunity to address your committee regarding flexible grants, Great Start, and Children, Youth, and Families. In this time of financial crisis, and it just appears driving over here, I heard it's worse. We are most concerned that these funds not be decimated. A combination of flexible dollars and state program investments is essential to sustain, even at a reduced level, which is understandable, programs and systems developed in our county to support healthy children and strong families. Critical needs of at-risk families and children were identified by our community in the 10-year community plan that our community created. Flexible dollars are fundamental in ensuring the continued services and existence of programs which directly affect our at-risk children and families. Some of those programs include FAN, Family Access Network, which connects vulnerable families to health and social services in a cost-effective way through many community partnerships. That's how it works in Deschutes County. Healthy Beginnings offers preventative health and developmental services throughout the county. Health professionals volunteer the time in combination with dedicated volunteers. All of them work together to make it happen. Its screening clinics are always fully booked. Boys and Girls Clubs, we're all familiar with those. In our county, they are community-based, and they share a safe place of positive influence for children and youth. Mountain Star Relief Nursery, truly a local effort. It serves families at greatest need and highest risk of doing harm to their own children. There are no other comparable services. This program was saved by our local commission through flexible dollars when state funds were stalled. Flexible funds have helped us to close the gaps in service, move toward collaborative partnerships, seek matching dollars, and support programs which the community deems essential. I appreciate your attention, and I have some understanding of the very difficult decisions you have to make. And I ask you just to give careful consideration, which I'm sure you're doing, to the vital role of flexible funds in maintaining critical children's programs. I want to thank you for that. And I'd like to introduce Tammy Bainey. She is our commission's vice chair. and she will describe to you how flexible funds or locally invested funds have been used and enabled us to leverage dollars for locally determined needs. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Representative Westland, and committee members, I will be short and sweet. My background is with Bend Area Habitat for Humanity. I've been with them on their board for 5 years. I'm also a former CASA, court-appointed special advocate for children, as well as a foster parent. We understand that government funding is essential, but we also understand that community is essential as well. And for us, we are very proud of the success that we have had in leveraging our flexible funds. And that's why we're here today, is to let you know that we are proud of what we have done, and we are utilizing that money to its best potential. In the written comments that we have provided you, we have an outline of over $1 million that we have leveraged to make our community a better place. To point out some of those great successes, we have secured a $350,000 grant for regional child care within 7 communities. We have also leveraged $12,000 with the Ad Federation, which has brought about an ad campaign of over $250,000, which was to benefit public awareness for the Family Resource Center, as well as Central Oregon Battering and Rape Alliance, that upped the referral calls by 30%, over 30% with both programs, which was really tremendous. We also are very proud of the hard work that went into creating the Mountain Star Relief Nursery, blah, blah, blah. having realized a need, a vision was created, and land was found and donated. Many hours of labor was donated. A cottage was donated as well, which is now being used for a therapeutic daycare center. These are just wonderful examples of community collaborating together to bring together agencies and people to leverage funds and make things happen. Each commission knows the essential critical needs within their community, and flexible funds helps us focus on those areas and keep mobilized. With successful leveraging, communities are able to play an integral part within building strong communities. And we appreciate your time very much, and I know this is a hard, hard time, so we just want to let you know we're doing the best that we can. Thank you.
Madam Chair, in closing, I neglected in trying to hurry to compliment or to welcome the other members of your committee, including Representative Westland. We tried to explain the actions we've taken to operate with less money. We've asked you, before you come back to us, to look at the state operations. And we've asked you to please, please give us flexible funds so we can treat specific needs in our local commissions. Military man, our commission's mission is healthy children, strong families, and supportive communities. What a great mission statement. And with your continued support, we can accomplish that mission. We believe in what we're doing and are very willing to continue to travel over the mountains to work with you, the state commission, the governor, and others to help make children our number one priority. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. There are too many. Let's see. Jerry Street. And is this your 5 or 6 minutes?
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jerry Street. I'm Director of Health and Human Services for Jefferson County, located in Madras. And I'd like to address the committee this morning in support of flexible funding for the local commissions. As a local commission, our local commission, I should say, is a team player in the community through community affairs, and serves the role of kind of connecting the dots of the services, resources, and needs within the community. Through the comprehensive planning process, we've changed a lot of the community attitudes and have created a sense of social entrepreneurship. We face some kind of really unique challenges. 18% of our population is under the federal poverty guidelines. 48% is under the 200%. And we have 62% of our youth are on free or reduced lunches. That's the highest in the state. So, you know, we don't have a lot of resources in the community, and the flexible funding to allow us to leverage both grant funds, private funds, and community involvement is really important. There was two major areas I'd like to touch on that over the last 12 months we've kind of focused on that have addressed some of the local needs of youth that have been identified. One is with private partnerships, nonprofit organizations, to develop an adult mentoring program to target the non-adjudicated risk at youth. It's something we've heard from the community over and over and over, that we need a big brother, big sister type program where we can have adults that work with youth and role model for them. That program is now up and running. We've completed the first training, and we have a waiting list of people who want to participate in that. The second one I'd like to touch on is the Youth Advisory Council. It was identified that we have our kids tend to do either very well or very poorly, and we don't have many kind of middle-of-the-road type kids. So the Youth Advisory Council was developed using targeted kind of middle-of-the-road and troubled youth to help them develop leadership skills and provide a voice of the in the community for youth. We've also done a lot of work in child care. It is a major issue for us also. The business community has told us that that is the number one handicap for their employees is adequate child care. And we've done about a half a dozen different things with the community to help address that, everything from training to recruitment to working in a regional partnership. In closing, I'd like to ask that the flexible funds and the state-local partnership be continued as much as you can. I know that things are really tight this year, but I also know that locally it is kind of the thing that holds and allows us to bring the community together. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. And some of you have probably read that things are getting tighter. If you read in the paper, just recently, the budget forecast is continually to go down rather than up. But we will take all of your testimony into serious consideration. This panel will welcome your input and value your recommendations to us. And with that, I would call, I think, Hood River. And let me see who's coming up from Hood River. That's Alva Torres, Carolyn Bondurant, is that correct? And Michelle Westfall. And is Edie Jones also with your group? Are you with the Hood River group? Oh, how did you get away from Deschutes County? Okay, I'll call you up after this. Go ahead and begin.
Presidente Winters y miembros del comité.
Chair Winters, member of committee.
Mi nombre es Elvia Torres.
My name is Elvia Torres.
Y mi dirección es 3630 Homestead Drive, Hood River, Oregon.
My address is 3630 Homestead Drive, Hood River, Oregon.
Y yo vengo representando a la comunidad de Hood River al programa de Nuevos Padres, Healthy Start.
I am representing Hood River County and New Parent Services Healthy Start Program.
Yo soy mamá de tres niños y el programa de Nuevos Padres comenzó a visitarme cuando nació mi segundo bebé.
I am a mother of three children and New Parent Services Program started visiting me when my second child was born.
Yo recibí información de este programa en el hospital cuando mi bebé nació.
I received information from this program in the hospital when my baby was born.
Y yo quise recibir ayuda de este programa porque yo crecí entre violencia doméstica.
I wanted to receive information from this program because I grown in violence, domestic violence.
Y yo quise este programa comenzó ayudarme porque yo quise empezar a educar mis niños con violencia y con gritos.
This program helped me because I wanted to educate my children with violence and yelling.
Y este programa comenzó ayudándome, pagándome ayuda psicológica profesional.
This program helped me by paying psychology professional help.
Y alguna y una persona de este programa comenzó a visitarme.
And a person from this program started visiting me.
Y me enseñó cómo educar y disciplinar a mis niños sin gritos y sin violencia.
Showed me how to discipline and educate my children without violence and yelling.
También me enseñaron algo muy importante, que es la importancia que tiene la lectura para el desarrollo de los niños.
They also helped me with how important it is in reading for the children.
También este programa me regaló algunos libros.
This program also gave me some books.
Y me hicieron saber que yo podía pasar a la biblioteca y agarrar algunos libros para llevar a mi casa y leerlos a mis niños.
They let me know that there was a library available where I can check out books and read to my children.
También este programa me ayudó a saber cuándo tenía que ponerle las vacunas a mis niños y cuándo tenía que hacer sus chequeos físicos.
They also let me know when they had to get their shots and physical appointments.
También algo que me gusta mucho de este programa es cuando me visitan a mi casa.
Another thing is when they visit my house.
Y ellos hacen la evaluación de los niños, me dicen cómo van desarrollando física y mentalmente.
They tell me how they are developing. They do an evaluation telling me where they are physically and mentally.
Y si los niños necesitan algún tipo de ayuda, estamos a tiempo para poderlos ayudar.
If the children need any help, we are still on time to help them.
También cuando he pedido información a este programa de algunos temas.
Also when I have asked them some information about some topics.
Como drogas, alcohol, cigarro.
Like drugs, alcohol, and tobacco.
Y sexo.
And sex.
Este programa me ha dado mucha información para yo saber cómo hablarle de esto a mis niños.
This program has given me lots of information to how I should tell it to my children.
Por eso yo creo que este programa es muy útil y necesario.
That's why I think this program is very useful and necessary.
Porque comienzan educándonos a nosotros los padres.
Because they start by educating us parents.
Y nos ayudan cuando nuestros bebés recién están nacidos.
They help us when our babies are barely born.
Y es cuando necesitamos de saber cómo educarlos, disciplinarlos, cómo alimentarlos.
That's when we need to know how to educate them, discipline them, and feed them.
Y cómo ayudarlos a desarrollar bien.
And how to help them grow up.
Porque es cuando, yo creo que es cuando se determina qué tipo de personas van a ser nuestros hijos.
I think that's when they determine what kind of people our children's going to be.
Por la ayuda que hemos recibido mi esposo y yo.
From the help we have received, my husband and I.
Hemos sabido ser mejores padres.
We've been able to be better parents.
Y tener mejores hijos.
And have better children.
Por eso yo quiero decir gracias al programa de Nuevos Padres, Healthy Start.
That's why I'd like to thank New Parent Services and Healthy Start.
Y yo quiero decir gracias, y si alguien tiene alguna pregunta.
I'd like to say thank you if you guys have any questions.
Thank you. We're having some additional individuals who want to sign up to testify. And because of that, I'm going to have to start limiting the testimony to 2 minutes, not three. So if you have written testimony, please summarize it because this panel can read your testimony. That way everyone will get an opportunity to testify before us. So thank you very much, and I know that you're waiting to speak.
Yes. Madam Chair and committee members, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity. My name is Michelle Westphal, and I'm Hood River County Commission on Children and Families' new chair. I came to share a personal story and tell the importance of local accountability. I'm a single mom who escaped from an abusive background. I've used support services for myself and for my children in a couple of states. I moved to Oregon 6 years ago
from a state with less than adequate, let alone respectful systems of service. I was used to being treated like someone who needed services, not someone whose services were needed. My son was in a residential program and was assigned a CASA worker at the beginning of my time in Hood River County. And on the documentation, it showed that he had a CASA worker. But the papers that came to Salem is all that it existed. It didn't exist in real life. He did not have somebody that seen him or seen our family. Because of local accountability and knowing who to talk to in our community, I shared my concern and was directed to the Commission on Children and Families. I was amazed with the efficiency of the process. And the other agencies were all partners with the commission. I learned that the commission was working on the CASA problem that I was dealing with and had seen the discrepancies as well. And ultimately, they were able to redesign the program so that the children that were supposedly having CASA workers did have them. I learned that I had a voice and it could be heard, and I could make a difference in my community. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both. Thank all three of you and the interpreter.
Madam Chair.
Yes, thank you.
Senator Carter.
Just while they're waiting for the next group.
And I'll have, while you can speak, while Edie.
I'm no. Carolyn Bondurant. There wasn't enough room at the table for me before.
Okay, then. Then, Edie, would you come up and join her so that we will go in sync? And who was the interpreter?
Monica Romero.
Okay. We will need her name for the record.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I was impressed that she had that memorized.
Yeah. Representative Hayes, yes.
Madam Chair, I just, we can, you know, talk all day long about successes, but when we have a live example of success here like we did, that mother who is now the chair of the commission, that must not go unnoticed. Somebody who was a recipient of the service and now is turning around giving of her service, and I just really want to applaud the mission, the commission, for that kind of example, because I think that's in living color.
Senator Winters and committee members, I do not have a written testimony as I was just asked to speak on behalf of Healthy Start. I am from Hood River County and I am the program manager for New Parent Services. And there's been some discussion on Babies First and whether Healthy Start is a duplication. And I want you to know that as the program manager, we definitely do different things and we work very closely together. When we have families who we see medical problems or delays, we have the health nurse come out with us from Babies First, and they are only allowed or able to, with their funding, to go out, you know, once a month or once a quarter, depending on the severity of the family issues. But we can go weekly. We can make sure that in between the baby first visits, that the medical needs, if the baby's first nurse has asked that they get to the health department or get shots or get a welcome child check, that actually happens. We can provide the transportation. We can notify the nurse when things are not going as planned or there's nutritional problems. And then we can fill in where the parenting doesn't happen. Babies First is mainly the medical model, and Healthy Start is the parent education. And I'm very sure that's all I have to say, but if any of you have any questions, I'd be willing to answer them.
I do have one question. Are there some elements in Babies First that are similar elements in Healthy Start?
Well, you might say that we both want immunizations, so we both make sure that happens. But as far as what goes on a visit, on a Healthy Start visit, and what goes on in a baby's first visit, they come from totally different angles. We're very interested in the child and the parenting and providing the right resources and making sure the parents get to those resources. Baby first or more, well, child check, you know, how the size of the head, the weight, all that stuff.
I guess given the environment that we're in with limited resources, is there a way that you can take both Healthy Start and Babies First and somehow massage them to where you're, you know, they're working together?
We definitely work together. In fact, I was just on the phone this morning with the health department. We are developing a chart with releases so that we know which families they're targeting and which families we are targeting. And then those families that they want extra help with or concerns, then we will be the ones that fill in those gaps. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chairman,
sorry, we're not called up with Deschutes County.
This is I am not here with the commission, but I am here to support the commission. Okay. Chairman Winters, Representative Westland, other committee members, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to talk. I'm Edie Jones. I'm the director of the Central Oregon Together for Children program. I've been a former Girl Scout executive and the former owner of Camp Tamarack over in Central Oregon. So I have worked with lots and lots of children. I'm here to talk about a very special program, and it is Together for Children. I'm sure many of you know that this is a program that for the last 15 years has been available through dedicated funds, and that besides the commission dollars. And that dedicated fund is no longer here, and so it is very important that commission dollars are available for the continuation of the program. So I'd like to have you really support the idea that the legislators fund the Great Start and Children, Youth, and Families grants at a level that the local commissions can then support programs like Together for Children. Just a few things about Together for Children, things that happen there. This is the place that many parents learn to not only love their children but to respect their children. And if they respect their children, those parents will never neglect or abuse their children. It is a very much of a preventive program. It is the place that many parents first learn the importance of about the baby's brain and how they will have a very strong influence on that brain, positive and negative. It is the place that many parents find the importance of reading to their baby soon after it's born in preparation for future school, and also where they learn how to use discipline in a very positive way, why it is important for a two-year-old to have a temper tantrum, why it is important for a child to learn to say no, and also how parents can learn to encourage their children very positively. I'd like to point your attention to the investment that has been involved with Together for Children for the last 15 years, since 1987. This is truly an investment. And I would say that it's probably one of the best and least expensive investments that the state has ever made or that any state has made. In Deschutes County, we serve approximately 150 families a year. That in 15 years is 2,250 families. If you think of those families as at least three people in a family, that's about 7,000 people in the last 15 years. I do have no idea how many people have been served in Medford and in Eugene in the programs of Together for Children. But if you take all three programs operating, the state has spent $312,000 a year for three programs. That is a very inexpensive program. For Deschutes County, it comes to about $1,200 per family or about $400 per person. Many of our families have paid a substantial amount into that, into the program. We work on a sliding fee, and we are proud of the fact that we bring families together who may never, ever meet because they come from such different spectrums of the economic sphere.
if you multiply, if you look at those numbers individually, they're not very big. If you look at it at 7,000 people, that's over $2,800,000 investment that the state has made. It would be a shame to throw that away. We have... Thank you.
Go ahead and begin to wrap.
Okay. I have the rest of my testimony and my written piece. I thank you very much for the time. I just want to make one point that on the community plans that are in the different counties, Together for Children is very, very aligned with those. And we are the ones, one of the organizations that really help meet the goals of the community plan. Thank you very much.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
The time.
Let's see, Jean Phelps. Jean, are you going to, you have a, why don't you bring your entire group up?
Madam Chair Winters and committee.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is Withnell and Miller joining your group?
We're not saying it.
Okay.
They're beautiful in the audience, though.
Pardon?
They're beautiful in the audience.
Yes.
My name is Jean Phelps, and I'm the executive director of the Relief Nursery. We are very proud to be part of the Commission Plan for Children and Families, and would like to note that the highest majority of the local plans included the importance of having child abuse prevention services, and it was listed as their most frequent priority. There are 7 relief nurseries in Oregon. Different names, different locations, different ownerships, all of us doing relief nursery services. We are a nationally recognized program, just most recently, in the last couple weeks, recognized by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Children's Bureau, NCAN, as a promising, innovative program, and as a highly competitive situation, but what they were looking at were very promising programs in stopping child abuse neglect nationwide. I'd like to have Stefan speak about the research that has been started with relief nurseries, and then Charlene will be speaking from Roseburg, talking about our funding, and we'll have 2 of our family members from Eugene be speaking, and then I'll close up. Thank you. We'll be very short.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Stefan Safer. I am the director of the Child and Family Program at the Northwest Regional Educational Lab. I'm a researcher, and I was contracted with the Commission on Children and Families to provide some information about outcomes on the relief nurseries themselves. I'm going to go quickly through some of this because I lost a minute. And these are the 7 nurseries. The oldest one in Eugene started in 1976, 27 years old. The newest one is the Mountain Star Relief Nursery in Bend, April 2001. The 7 nurseries, and this is all 2001, July 2001 to the end of June 2002 data, 1,688 families during that time. More than 75% of the families were at or below the federal poverty level. 23% are non-white, much higher than the state average. 41% were teen parents. These are across all the 7 nurseries. And 86.7% of the children they serve are 3 years old or younger, which is important because it's a prevention intervention program. The average family has 11 plus risk factors. The first risk factor, the most common among the families, is high stress, and the second is poverty. However, more than half of the families are single parents, have history of abuse, are under or unemployed, and have no transportation. 49%, almost half, have domestic violence issues. So this is a very targeted population, very high-risk families at high risk for abuse. 45% have substance abuse issues, and this is a critical one. That's a very high number, and statewide, the risk factor most closely associated with abuse is alcohol and drug abuse. So that's a critical factor, and 32% have mental health issues. I just call your attention to this chart, and if you could look at the totals here. It was hard to do. Of the four nurseries, there were five children. This has to do with outcomes related to keeping children out of foster care. I'm going to focus on two outcomes, the foster care issue and the child abuse issue. Of 437 children who were receiving the core services, five were placed in foster care during the time that they were receiving relief nursery services during this 2001-2002 period. That's about 1.1% of the population of children. The general population in the state of Oregon at any given time during 2001, there were over 6,000 children in foster care. So if you do the math there, that's about 1% in the general population. So it pretty much mirrors the general population, which is excellent because this is a very, very high-risk population targeted specifically for being at risk for abuse. If we look at another cut on the data here, we see that at intake, there across the three programs, 11 children were in foster care, and of those, 4, 36% were returned to their families just during that program year. Now this is going into the next outcome, which is abuse, and this is the most important one because that's the central mission of the programs. Across the four more established larger programs, the report rate, this is not actual victimization rate, but the report rate was 8.6 average in each program, and that's 6.5% of the total children served in core services. 7% is, if you take the population of those counties 5 years of age and under, the report rate is 7%. That seems high because we're looking at younger kids, and we're just looking at these counties, not statewide, because we can get that kind of detailed data from DHHS. And so they're below the general rate, and given the risk factors that you saw, that's quite remarkable. And this is a quote from the report that the rates of families served by the nurseries are below general population rates for reported abuse, which is remarkable given that the families served are by definition very high risk for abuse. From our report, our recommendations are that they continue to work across the programs to collect data in an effective way, and the one recommendation for improvement of the programs that we have in our report is that to provide more intensive substance abuse treatment programs because it's the number one risk factor associated with abuse, and most of the programs rely on referrals to agencies in the community for abuse, and we have some initial risk factor data from one program to show that that's the hardest one to impact unless you do it in-house and provide and have intensive services. Thank you for taking my testimony, and I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you.
Madam Chair and Committee, I'm Charlene Paramo, and I'm the director of the Douglas County Relief Nursery in Roseburg. And I'm here today to talk briefly about the yellow sheet of paper that you were given in your handout, mainly the four P's that all seven relief nurseries have, and that is phenomenal public-private partnerships. We have worked hard with the dollars that you've given us. The state in the last biennium gave us $3.6 million, and from that we leveraged over $8 million. And this is cash. This is not an in-kind. This is not in volunteering. This is a cash match. I wanted to let you know a little bit about what we did with some of those dollars. The Cottage Grove Relief Nursery is adding a new building to its nursery. No state funds were used for any of that or for any of their capital projects. In Roseburg, we just completed a $1.3 million campaign. From that, in our tiny community, we have 20,000 people who donated over $269,000 towards that $1.3 million to build a new facility. We are housed in a very small little house that has two classrooms. Our new facility will have six classrooms, and we are also incorporating the early intervention program into our community family, and so they will be joining us in our new building. The Portland Relief Nursery, the newest nursery, Portland and Bend, last November they opened a new nursery from a remodeled building that they raised over $2 million from local fundraising efforts to make that happen. And I don't know if you've had the opportunity or not to see the Portland Nursery, but it is a beautiful nursery and a great example of what we're trying to do for children. State funding is a critical piece of the operating budget to provide services to these vulnerable families, but those state dollars leveraged an incredible amount of community support. Relief nurseries are a very good state investment, and we are excellent stewards of your money. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Shields.
Yeah, before the gentleman from the education lab gets away, I just want to point out that, for instance, the one statistic alone of serving 345 children at three of the nurseries, where 11 were in foster care and four were returned, you can actually put some state dollar signs to money saved.
Right.
And since we're talking about budget cutting throughout this session, I think at points in presentations like this where we can document actual dollars that are going to be saved, we ought to try to get that information to us and underscore places where programs are saving state dollars. It can't be fanciful stuff that's not well documented, but we ought to hear more of that.
If I may speak, Madam Chair, we have that in our full report, and the cost of foster care is almost $12,000, and the typical cost for the core services for nursery is about $3,600. So you can do the math and right there on just on that piece of data alone.
Yeah. I mean, I realize it's just one, there's many.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I think we're, for members who have not had the privilege of working with the relief nurseries, there's two things that are very important, not only talking about leveraging, particularly because it's the one program that we have that is required to have local participation, and they have far exceeded the percentage amount that was put in statute, and they have done a yeoman's job in the community in getting the community involved, and I think that community support is the strength, if you will, of the relief nurseries, in addition to the working with the high risk factors to keeping them from, and I know Kay can speak to this, having been the chair of the head of the agency, and she and I both working in children's services years ago, keeping them out of foster care, which is a more expensive, not only expensive cost of care, but also it does something else, the separation from family and child. So there are other dimensions that they're doing a very incredible job, and we really appreciate the work of the relief nurseries. And we will be looking for the documentation for those who don't know the documentation already.
Thank you.
I think Ray Brown is next, and your name?
Robert Atkinson.
Robert Atkinson from Eugene Relief Nurse.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Committee. Ray Brown. And I was just going to share for a minute here that I got involved with the Relief Nursery about 11 years ago after exiting my fifth drug and alcohol treatment center and becoming a single dad with three kids. I was able to contact the nursery, which I thought was a tree farm, and and get services for old growth, and get services for my whole family, which was my three kids and myself. After going through the CSP process and the parole and probation process, 2 years later, I got asked to work there. I've been there working on 9 years this year. And I got asked a couple weeks ago in a spotlight interview, what do I get out of working with families? And I thought about that for a couple days. And what I get is I get to see families like Robert here, who I brought today, the lights come on with him and his child, and actually see them home together and being a family. And that's what I get to see, and that's just a small glimpse. There's a lot of negative things, but there's also a lot of assets and positive things. So I'd like to introduce to you Robert Atkinson.
Welcome, Robert.
Thank you. Chair and board, my name is Robert Atkinson. And I can probably go on forever because Relief Nursery's pretty much given me my son and my life as I know it today. I come from, as you've heard from other people, a pretty dysfunctional background, a lot of violence, alcohol, drugs. And that's the life, only life I knew. I didn't know how to... I thought that's the way I was raised, that's the way I was supposed to be. Until I lost my son, who was only, I think he was about 6 months old at the time. And I tried to take my life, and something came over me and said that I needed treatment. You know, I believe it was God. But I went into treatment, and I was in... SCF took my son, as a matter of fact. I went into treatment, and along with SCF, I got lined up with the Relief Nursery and started their parenting classes and a lot of other resources, and they were there to help me learn a new way of living, a new way of looking at life. In the beginning, I didn't think I could grow. I thought I was just stuck. That's the way I was raised. That's who I am. And they taught me that, along with some of the requirements that SCF put on me that I didn't think I could do, and they helped me get through them, I can grow. And I can be pretty much anything I choose to be if I want to be it bad enough. And the one thing that I want more than anything else in the world is to be a father to my son. And I've been doing that now on my own for the last over 2 years, which is like a miracle to me, you know. And there's been a lot of times that the fear has been almost overwhelming because I didn't know what to do or how to handle certain situations, you know. I've been working the same job for 3 years, you know. That's a miracle in itself, and I owe a lot of that to Ray's support and the other staff at the Relief Nursery, because they're always there. Whenever I have a question, I can go there, I can talk to him. My son's presently going to respite care 2 times a week. Only time I'm separated from my son is while I'm working. And they're anything I need, they're there for me. And I've seen other families too that they're there. They've taught me how to actually survive, how to budget my money. That's been a big challenge for me, something I didn't know. And Ray and others sat down with me and said, this is what we need to do, and you need to just suck it up and bypass on buying that, because you need to take care of your household. Mm-hmm. And it's getting easier for me. And I'm a supervisor on my job now, and I'm in charge of 36 of my own sites, a janitorial company, and I've got 74 people under me. I've got a memory problem that they've helped me to develop tools to deal with that memory problem to where I'm able to do that. You know, that was one of the things that SCF had me go through, was mental evaluations, because when I first started with them, I was diagnosed schizoaffective. And that was pretty much a game that I didn't even realize was a game until I started getting real. I got away from the alcohol and the drugs and had to face reality and get through some things that I didn't think I could get through, because I didn't have any choice. It was that or lose my son. And they were right there to help me get through those things and to walk me through it and hold my hand and listen to me whine and all that good stuff. But they helped me get through it to where now I know that the sky's the limit if I want it bad enough. So I have a lot to thank them for. I have my life and my son to thank them for.
And we want to thank you for all the hard work and getting there. And we appreciate that you have your son. And you've done a lot more than that, because to tell us that you have a memory problem and you're supervising 36 individuals, tell me that you have got it together. I can't remember the names up here.
This is it right here.
Don't lose the box. Just for informational purposes, the relief ministry did take a $400,000 cut after the measure went down, measure 28. We appreciate very much the governor's support and commission support. And even with that, we will be receiving an $800,000 cut for this new biennium. We're going to work hard. We know all of you are going to work hard. And we thank you for the time.
Thank you. I want to put in a little commercial so that members of, do not forget that you have been invited tonight to attend a reception at Building Blocks here in Salem. And so I would expect members to be there, and you can see in person what happens at a relief nursery.
And Senator Morris, I understand there's a group we've been working with in your area, and they're pretty wonderful, and they'll be coming up seeing you, and I know they're hoping you'll come tonight. Thank you.
He was just checking his schedule. I saw.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have to make apologies. I have a Lincoln Day dinner in Auburn.
Nita Werner. And is Nita here? And Kay, why don't you come up too? Go ahead, Nita.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I'll be very brief. My name is Nita Werner, and I'm a small business owner in Hillsborough, which is located in Washington County. I'm a member of the Washington County Commission on Children and Families, and I just wanted to talk about the increased need for flexible funding in the communities. Being a business owner, every business is different, and I just want to remind you that every county is different. When the counties went through their strategic planning, they all identified different needs in the counties. So our county in Washington County, which is one of the largest, may have identified top five needs that are totally different than a county that's in eastern Oregon. We leverage our funds quite a bit. For example, we have a program that was in Tiger Twalton Schools that we used our flexible funds for. We gave them $34,000 for a program called First Steps, and that created mentors in kindergarten to identify kids who have behavioral problems, because if you identify them early and work with them early, it does not increase. That program was able to leverage federal funding of $1.4 million from our $34,000 grant. So I just wanted to remind the committee that flexible dollars are so important to each county, because our counties are so different. We are a great state, but every county has their own individual needs, and that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Kay Turan, President of Volunteers of America, Oregon, one of Oregon's largest social service agencies. And I'm here really today just to reinforce our organization's support and to share with you the real need for both the Commission on Children's Families budget and also the budget for the relief nurseries. As one who's worked in child protective services for several years, you can see the direct link between the services that are provided by the relief nursery and the diversion from the child protective services system for those children and those families. Probably the one outcome that I think is most important for our nursery and probably the other nurseries is that we do see these kids get reunited with their families. We have a 60% success record of returning kids safely to their families. So there is a direct link, as Senator Shields was talking about. We are the first replication of the relief nursery in Oregon. Our nursery is 11 years old, and it was started by Lorraine Barton, who I often refer to as probably the best child development specialist that I have worked with in my entire career. She now is the division director, and we thought we'd just come and lend our support and tell you how important it is to support the governor's recommended budget.
And I would only like to add, I'm Lorraine Barton, is that I know that many of you are very familiar with the relief nurseries and that some of you have visited our relief nursery and that you have seen the changes that occur with our families and with our children. And I just only hope, I know you have really tough decisions to make, but only that you keep that in the forefront of your mind as you're making your decisions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And welcome back into the building, Kay.
Well, thank you. I didn't know I was going to come back and testify before you folks again. Good to be back. Thank you so much.
Terry Urbane and Tamiko Doughton.
Good
I'm getting there.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Terry Urban. I reside at 930 Tamarack Northeast in Salem. I'm the director of Lights Community Learning Centers at Bush, Grant, Highland, and Richmond Elementary Schools in Salem. I'm an active parent and community member in the Grant Highland neighborhood where I have lived for the past 35 years. I'm testifying in respect to the ongoing efforts of Marion County Children's and Families Commission to connect schools, agencies, faith communities, business, and neighbors in my community. The Family Systems Investment Consortium, which I have been involved in, has been instrumental in communicating the strategic directions of Marion County. Because of flexible funding they've had, there's been several significant projects to which have been supported or have been executed through this group. North Neighborhood Project, Grant Highland area, is one that has increased the livability of our neighborhood. I'm certain their efforts have contributed significantly to limiting the increase in crime last year in Highland to 1.6%, and the Grant neighborhood boasted a 7.2% decrease in crime. And my family, of which there's four households in those neighborhoods, that has kept us from fleeing the neighborhoods. So I think that's helped to, with the diversity of our neighbors, our neighborhoods. We just were awarded one of 19 grants by the USDA for food stamp outreach. Research grant, and we're partnering with Willamette University, and what we're going to do is identify barriers for food stamps and then educate our families on food nutrition and its food security. We're working to dissolve the stigma of welfare associated with the food stamp program, so that parents know it's a supplemental program to meet the working families' needs. And one thing that's significant about this is we're having the schools work together with the Department of Human Services, Willamette University, OSU Extension, a WIC store in town to identify those families and help them to overcome those barriers. So that's something we've been able to do is integrate services together. I applaud the commission on the community data link that they have developed, and that's the software for outcomes and also the common grant application, because that's two areas of which we do not have staffing to spend a lot of time on, so that helps us to devote more time to servicing our families. We also were awarded an Even Start project this year, and that is going to be housed at St. Vincent Parish House in Highland Neighborhood, and we are going to be using the Computer Center and the North Resource Center. Again, another example of integrating services. So we're all pulling together to address literacy, parenting, employability, and self-sufficiency in some of our highest-risk neighbors. The pastoral initiatives in Marion County have been very strong. In our schools specifically, we've had involvement in Highland School for 6 years, and we've also had involvement in Grant School for 7 years. And we're going to be hosting a workshop soon on the 1st, and it's called Call to Serve.
Summarize.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And then the other thing we're doing a lot is mentoring, and I have a story in this. So I just want to applaud them for their efforts and how we can integrate services and use our resources more wisely together and efficiently without duplicating services. Thank you.
Thank you. Tomiko.
Yes. And Madam Chair Winters and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Tomiko Dutton. I live in 3688 Silverstone Drive, Northeast Salem. I am in Marion County Healthy Start Program. When I was pregnant with my first son, I learned about this program. I became pregnant soon after I moved in the United States from Japan. I did not know anything about pregnancy and the health care system or insurance benefits. It was so different as Japan. That it was really, really difficult. And a family support worker came to my home with information. The visit continued every week for the first year. She not only gave me information about the child care, but also listened to my concern and gave me advice, and most importantly, encouraged me. And when I do feel stressed, this program has this program has provided me with many techniques to relax. Healthy Start has built my confidence in my parenting skills, and the result can be seen in my children. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very nice, thanks.
Thank you. Barbara Johnson, Pat James, Pam Butler, and Dago Ben...
Dago
Benavides. Dago Benavides. Okay, I'm
Yeah. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Barbara Johnson. I'm the Executive Director of the CASA program in Clackamas County. We appreciate your time today. It's truly my privilege to be here today to introduce. I have two CASA volunteers with me, Mr. Benavides from Marion County and Pat James in the row behind me from Clackamas County. And I'm especially honored to be able to introduce to you a young woman, Pamela Butler, who has been in the foster care system in Oregon for most of the past 10 years. Excuse me, she's truly a credit to her generation, and I'm going to, if I'm here available to answer any questions, if you have any, I particularly would point out to you the sheet about CASA. We do save the state money. Our volunteers, beside the fact that they... As one of my board members pointed out, none of them belong to PERS.
Barbara, can I impress on you, because we had a CASA. We hear from...
Absolutely. I just want to point out, if you look at this sheet, CASAs save the state money.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I have been at CASA since 1998, and I really took this on because as a Latino, I see it very important in our community because of the growing Hispanic Latino population here. And it has been a very rewarding experience for me. I've got my watch right here. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's been a rewarding experience for me. The success stories really give the volunteer CASA a sense of accomplishment. And you folks, in a roundabout way, share in those success stories. You support the Oregon Commission on Family and Children, and they support the local CASA program, and they and the staff supports the volunteers. And one of my success stories, this book right here, Lighting the Way, it was featured on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and it's got like 15 success stories out the CASA program. And I'm trying to cut this really short for you folks. Currently in Marion County, there are 800 children out of home. And out of those 800, there are 250 that are most abused. And from those 250, only like 58 are being served here in Marion County as far as the abuse. So in closing, I would like to say that there are countless volunteers out there ready and willing to take on the challenge of advocacy for children in this state. But we as volunteers can't do it without the backing and guidance of our local CASA staff. And our local CASA staff can't do it without the help and backing of the Oregon Commission on Family and Children. And they, in turn, can't do it without your help. So thank you very much.
Didn't mean to rush you, but it's very seldom that we actually get young people, our children here, to actually tell us about their experience. We do hear from the adults, but I think it's important that this panel hear from an individual, and I'm very honored to have you come to testify before us today.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the board, I'd like to thank you for listening to me today. And I guess all that as she said, I've been in foster care for almost 11 years now. In that time, I've been in 8 foster homes.
And could you tell us your name?
Pamela Butler. Sorry. 8 foster homes, had about 9 caseworkers, 7 therapists, many counselors, family mediators, you name it, I've probably had it. And along that way, I've never had anyone who actually stood up and helped me with really anything. I spent many years actually in abusive foster homes where I was taken away from a home of abuse and sent in to more abuse. And in that time, there was really no one there. The caseworkers, you know, I know they're really busy and I know that they're overloaded with many cases, but in my case, the caseworkers were never really there. They rarely called, so did my attorney. I talked to him once before every court hearing, mostly the day before, and he's like, oh, tell me everything that's happened in the last 6 months. Okay. I usually don't tell him anything because I figured if he really wanted to know, he'd have been there along the way. But I spent 7 of the almost 11 years without any CASA worker, actually, and was just actually Pat James sitting here. That is my CASA worker, and she just came in to my case 4 years ago almost. It was before my freshman year, and I'm now a senior in high school. She came right after I had moved out of a very abusive home that I've been put in for about 6 years with alcoholics in a town. And after I got out of there, I actually went somewhere that was really great. And after being there for only about 9 months, they decided to send me home to my family. And I didn't really want to go. I was pretty upset, and nobody listened. They didn't even care. They said, you're young, you don't know what you want, we're sending you home, go. The transition was really hard for me, and you guys have this, but I thought it'd be the end of it, because this is how she kind of played into it, because she came in right at this time when they were sending me home, and all this was going wrong. She, the CASA, was with me every step of the way, and gave me a new hope for people, a new hope that there are some out there who will care for the lost children in the world, and truly be a powerful voice in a child's life. Even now that things are going great, she still visits and calls often, always bringing newspaper cutouts and inspirational stories of other youth. I'm not sure I would have survived those transitions in my life alone, and I'm positive that I would not be here today if she hadn't stood beside me and spoke up when I had no voice and when the walls were crumbling around me. Children and teenagers alike need a voice. They need the world to hear their cries of pain and anguish. Yelling alone, their voices are usually buried beneath the clamor of the adult world, but together with an adult by their side, just maybe they will have a chance to be heard. As a foster child and someone who's been through the system, I can truly say that without a voice, you really have nothing, because really no one listens to the children anymore. And this organization gives you the voice, and it's my true belief that this country is founded on freedom and hope, and you give a child a voice, and you give them hope, and you give them hope, and you give them the world. And without this, we really have nothing. And that's all I have to say.
I think you've said it very, very well.
Madam Chair, just because I know Ms. Butler won't share this with you, she is a 4-point student and will be attending the University of Oregon next year. So. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Serafina Clark.
Madam Chair.
Senator Gordley.
As we're waiting for the next panel, Pam Butler is a light. She is phenomenal. And there is a seat waiting for her on this panel.
Absolutely.
And in this
Absolutely.
Body.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
Madam Chair.
Senator Shield, I am going to tell this panel that you're going to stay until everyone has been heard. Mm-hmm. Senator Shield.
I simply want to raise at another point in time, I really appreciated Ms. Butler's testimony, but I'm wondering how in the world she could end up in a foster home with alcoholic foster parents for 6 years.
Me too.
In the system that we're running.
Me too.
I just want that question hanging out there.
Okay, Serafina Clark and Janet Kinnear, if you're here, would you come up too so that we can... You can be on deck to be next, and then Bev Larson will be after that. Let's help us start. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. My name is Serafina Clark. I'm Acting Director of the Lane County Commission on Children and Families. And what I wanted to do today in the short time that I have is just touch upon some of the key areas that the commission affects our community, and this is not just what I've seen but what I hear from our community partners. You've heard from our youth nursery, you've heard from CASA programs. These are all parts of the continuum of prevention services that the commission supports. And one of the interesting things that I've noticed over the last 4 years that I've worked for the commission is the impact that the SB 555 planning process has had on people's perception of the importance of working together, of networking, of seeing prevention truly as a network of services. You've heard a lot of very powerful testimony from the individuals. But just as an example, one of the things that happened in our community, as partners were talking about services for youth and services for early childhood. It was very clear that there was a big gap of services for 8 to 12-year-olds. Children would show up at one or other of these larger areas, the youth services or the early intervention groups, and be turned away. We're sorry we don't serve you, you don't come under the risk factors and not the right age. Our community has made a commitment now to not turn these children away, but to take the responsibility, and are developing new ways of serving those groups. This would not have happened by the very words of our providers without everyone sitting around the table and realizing what wasn't there and what was there. This is part of the power of planning. Another thing that happened in our community was the creation of a cultural competency consultation group that is now meeting with county workers, providers all around to help develop screening tools that really do pick up the needs of all children, not just the majority. So Hispanic families have very specific risk factors relating to nativity, for example, that aren't often picked up because the screening tools focus on the majority population and not on the needs of Hispanic children. Just in closing, again, our commission focuses on prevention, as do all of them around the state, and I'd really like to underscore the importance of this net, the partnering that goes on as a result of the commission work and the planning. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your testimony. I would like to call Janet.
Janet Kantner.
Kantner. And Bev Larson. Please, who would like to start?
My name is Janet Kentner, and I live in Kaiser, Oregon. I do not work for any of the organizations, associations, or programs that are identified in the testimony or the budget line items for this bill. I came to appreciate the work of the Children and Commission on Families and court-appointed special advocates when I conducted quantitative and qualitative research within 4 county programs for my thesis project. You cannot sit through shelter, permanency, and citizen review board hearings, observe the interdependencies of children, biological and foster parents, court-appointed special advocates, attorneys, judges, and caseworkers, and continue to see families and at-risk, abused, and neglected children as simply budget line items. A financial columnist coined a term to describe how we are currently prioritizing funding and making budget cuts. He called it fiscal child abuse. As a registered Republican voter, I cannot sit silent while we commit fiscal child abuse and not take care of our children because they do not vote. Thank you.
Would you indicate your name again for the record?
Janet Kentner, K-I-N-T-N-E-R.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
You're welcome.
Please.
Yeah. Bev Larson, 519 Northwest 13th, Corvallis. I'm the executive director of Old Mill Center for Children and Families, and I'm glad to be here, and Senator Morris, our new senator. For the last 25 years, I founded Old Mill Center for Children and Families 25 years ago because I'd worked with high schoolers, I'd worked with middle schoolers, and I kept saying, no, it's too late. It's, you know, there's more to happen. And so Old Mill was founded to serve young children. And now we are part of the Healthy Start Collaboration in Benton County. We are the lead agency of that collaboration with the Health Department, the Commission, Good Samaritan Hospital, PEP, the Teen Parent Program, and a number of other agencies, the Corrales Clinic, and then senior volunteers do some work for us with presents for the new baby, welcome baby visits. So it's a big collaboration that leverages a lot of other money. I only want to say, I guess, that I feel like one of the most exciting parts of this program for me, having worked in the field, having been a foster parent, having seen, you know, the parents who come, who have such needs, and the children who have such needs, is the ability to have a single point of entry at a very, very young age for babies. I mean, we can find many of these high-risk families prenatally now and begin working intensively in home visiting with them and begin to connect them with all the other services, mental health, drug and alcohol, immunizations, parent education. And it's an exciting, exciting opportunity to keep moving that clock backwards to provide those services during the most critical times. And so I encourage you to continue the support for Healthy Start funding in the budget. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, and also thank you for your patience. Would like to call Jennifer, is it Motzinger? Jenny Hannon? Elsie Quintanilla, and is it Isabel Pineda? Okay. Would you like to start and identify yourself for the record, please?
Thank you for listening to me today. I am Jennifer Motzinger, and I am from Tillamook, and I'm just going to give you my personal story.
If you could lean forward and just talk right into that microphone.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to give you my personal story. Healthy Families in Tillamook, Oregon has helped me a great deal. I've been with it for 2 years. I learned about it while I was in Lamaze class in Tillamook, and It gives you so much information, and Tillamook has a lot of teen parents, young parents, and they don't have the support of their family, or they don't have a family to support them, and most of them come from unfortunate backgrounds. A lot of us don't. We just don't know as young parents how to be parents, and they give you this information for certain dates in a child's life, like 0 to 3 months, 3 to 6 months. They give you so much information on food, developmental activities, safe activities, how to childproof your home. They just help you so much, and it's not just for the parents, it's for the children. And they give you ways on how to handle stress, and just they bring the community together, and there's so many positive aspects to it. Just so such a good thing. And a lot of people don't have someone to just talk to, and that's what they need. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful program. Thank you.
You're welcome. Jean, Jen? Hannah? What is it, Jerry or Jen?
Jenny.
And Elsie, why don't we just
come on up. Like we're a family.
Okay.
I think there's a place for three people to sit.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, Jenny, we'll start with you, and then we'll just...
Okay. I've been involved in Healthy Start.
Would you... So the lady there, just give us your name for the record.
My name is Jenny Hannon.
Okay.
And I've been involved in Healthy Start for 3.5 years, since I was about 6 months pregnant with my oldest child. I was 18, had no clue what I was doing, and they've supported me a lot. They've helped me find different resources in the community. They've helped me find child care. They helped me get involved with WIC. At one point, I had nowhere to go. They helped me find a shelter to go to and get into other housing. My Healthy Start worker comes out once a week, and it gives me something to look forward to, somebody, an adult to talk to on a regular basis. If I have problems with finding ways to discipline my child without, you know, going to spanking them or telling them no all the time, they've given me a lot of resources for that. It's been really helpful being involved with something like this.
How old is your child?
I have a 3-year-old and a son that just turned 2. So.
2. What's a special age?
We all remember.
We remember, too. Thank you. I have a grandson who is just at 2. Go ahead. Who's next? You're next.
My name is Elsie Quintanilla. Si quiere lo puede hacer en español. If it's okay, I can translate for her.
Okay.
And my name is Christina Perez.
You're doing fine.
Okay. ¿Qué más quiere decir sobre el programa y en qué manera le ha afectado en su vida? Help a lot to me for help my son be a nice mother for him.
And how old is your son?
1 year old and 2 months.
And he's getting ready to go into the terrible twos.
Yeah. Yeah. Helping me for be care by him. More time for me too. I'm very happy helping me for she come my house. Christina come every week my house. He talked to me, but I know from him.
Christina's your rock.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it really? You did fine. Thank you, Christina.
And I also brought 2 other girls that are also.
Is that my Isabella?
Mm-hmm.
And Merced.
But they're outside with their terrible twos. So, they're also part of Clackamas County Healthy Start, which is a collaboration of public health, Campfire, Parrot Creek, and DIF that specializes in working with Hispanic families. And Clackamas County has gained a lot more Hispanic workers. There was a point when there wasn't a whole lot. So we are kind of the rock for them because sometimes the language alone is a big barrier.
Well, thank you for coming, and thank you for being the rock. and we lovingly and affectionately call that the terrible twos.
Actually, they were very good. I drove them up, and I forgot I had kids with me.
Oh, well, that was
so
very good.
Very good.
That was very, very good.
They were sleeping.
I do want to thank everyone for coming today, and I want to thank you all for your patience. We have some. Oh gosh.
Just one.
Okay. Okay. From up to McKenzie.
Hello. Madam Chairwoman and members of the board. My name is Kay Yannett. I'm a registered nurse, and I've been so for 20-plus years. And during my career, I've basically always worked with families. I've done 10-plus years in pediatric intensive care, neonatal intensive care, and now I work in labor and delivery at Mackenzie Willamette Hospital. I just wanted to basically bring or talk from the standpoint of an organization that doesn't get any of your dollars, I don't think, but we sure as heck benefit from your support of the Healthy Start program. I have taken care of children who have been trying to survive after an incident of horrible abuse. I've taken care of premature babies whose families often had no support, no education, and now I work with women who are about to have women and their families who are about to have children. For so many years, we've emphasized this is how you work, you know, with labor and delivery. And here's all the information we can give you on handling the birth of your child. But then we send you home and go, good luck, have fun. And it's really exciting to me that we have an organization that we can actually refer families to, and it's one organization. I often have families, I've had parents as young as 12, who really don't have other people to show them perhaps basic life skills, let alone parenting skills. And as a nurse, I can ask all the questions to assess the situation that I want, but if I don't have a place to send somebody or information to give, it's pretty hard. I have worked on Lane County Healthy Starts program from the very first meeting 9 years ago. My boss wanted someone from our hospital to be involved. And the one thing that I just wanted to show you was the back page of the handout that I sent. And after a lot of years of hard work in the community, what I really wanted to show you was how impressive the collaboration is in our community. You have all sorts of providers, people that have amazing expertise and resources. I know you heard from the relief nurseries earlier. We are so lucky to have one in our community. What's really nice is we don't have to duplicate services. We call one place. We have one person that sticks with that family as they try to navigate some of the services that are available. It's nice because our medical community is really involved as well. We are hoping to get prenatal contact with some of the families someday because we all know it's a little late to go, here's your baby, good luck. But it sure is a start. As in our county alone, we've been able to screen and offer services to 89% of the first birth families, and that's pretty impressive. So anyway, I just want to thank you for all your time and energy in supporting this, and I know you have a lot of other things to consider. And thank you for your time.
Commissioner, some additional written testimony.
Thank you. I do have a question. Are you experiencing on another issue any problems with obstetrics and having obstetricians available for birth?
Well, what we're having a problem with is we had a lot of wonderful family practice physicians who also like to serve as labor and delivery physicians who, because of the high cost of malpractice, aren't able to practice anymore. So I do miss that population. And I do know as someone who tries to get women into prenatal care who may not have found it yet, it's almost impossible. I'm calling six or seven practices to see who is the person that can get
this
them in.
It may be an issue that the women's wellness here in the legislature may want to take a look at. It is a serious problem. You know, we're talking here about Healthy Start and working with mothers, but we have a problem of even being able to provide the prenatal care and the delivery care because of this issue of doctors are having to not avail themselves because of the high cost of the malpractice insurance.
Right.
So it's something, Senator Gurley, that maybe we can bring before our wellness group to talk about. Because if we in any way have an interruption in one part of the system, it's going to affect the other part.
That's right. Thank you, madam.
You're welcome.
Madam Chair, if I could just identify, we did get some written testimony that has been distributed to the members from the Mid-Willamette Valley Community Action Agency, from Josephine County Commission on Children and Families, and from the Benton County Commission on Children and Families.
Thanks. As you can tell, this is a very popular subject with a lot of interest. And tomorrow, we will have the budget tomorrow, and they're bobbing their head, so we will expect to be here and to work. And I want to thank all of you for your patience and for your involvement. And with that, we are adjourned till tomorrow, till 1 p.m.